Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. I'm your host, Travis Johnson, here today with Phil Randazzo. To help keep my podcast on the air, go to patreon.com/nonprofitarchitect. Sign up for $5 a month. It's not going to hurt your budget, but it's going to sure help keep us on the air. Phil is the mastermind behind American Dream U. How are you doing today, Phil?
Doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. Yeah, I'm coming off of a couple of great events and planning for couple more, so I've got a ton of energy.
I know. I just got back from Egypt myself, and I'm still kind of in recoup mode. Apparently, everyone who goes to Egypt comes back with a little, just like a touch of the plague. So you have to spend a couple of days recouping, but glad to have you here on the show. Tell us a little bit about American Dream U.
Yeah, so since 2003, I've had this private foundation for the first, I want to say the first 12, 13 years, I solely funded it myself, was honored to be able to afford to do that. And the first 10 years really were focused on helping the wounded, their families. We did a lot of work with Fisher Home, Walter Reed Bethesda, Brooke Army Medical Center, just really trying to share some different things with the men and women that were coming back wounded and their families. Did a lot of work with Gold Star families. And as less men and women were coming back, injured and wounded, talked to a friend who had become a general officer. I said, hey, what can we do, right? Every time we show up at Walter Reed now, there's only 3-4 guys in treatment, which is great, but I still want to serve, so how can we do it? And he says, you know, for some, the transition can be a little filled with some uncertainty, mm-hmm. you know, leaving a tribe, all that kind of stuff. So he says, you know, if you want to try to attempt something in the transition space, that'd be great. Every time I've asked you to do something, you've just delivered, so... And you've done it with the right intentions in mind, and that's helping soldiers and their families and airmen and sailors and soldiers. So I gathered probably about 8 entrepreneurs, everybody from Ramit Sethi to Charlie Holm, the founder of Allegiant Airlines, to Ben Hugh, the founder of Cheeseburger. We went to JBLM, and no one knew what to expect. I didn't even know what to expect. Mm-hmm. It was one of those best unplanned events we've ever had. And the soldiers, you know, showed up like with their arms folded, like, all right, this is another briefing from some, you know, PowerPoint thing. And Forrest Griffin was the other speaker that was here. So he was a big UFC fighter at the time. And we just crushed it. And they just delivered. And everyone was like leaning forward. And they were like, at the end, they're like, sir, we thought this was going to be some boring brief by some general officers, you know, death by PowerPoint, and you guys absolutely crushed it. Well, all we did was just share some different ideas on failure. What do transitions look like? We're going to be in transitions the rest of our life. And that was that was in June of 2013. And we've done 135 events since that.
Wow.
We've had 400 speakers. We've had, I don't know, 6 billionaires come show up. We've had some New York Times bestselling authors, founders of Spartan Race you name it. We've just had some rock stars come, and they just kind of share their story, and then we kind of give them some guidelines, and that's kind of where we're at.
That is amazing. The best unplanned conference or seminar here. Yeah. if I'm on a trip and fall into an accidental conference, man, that is the way to do it. That's definitely the way to be a better human, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a Combat Flip-Flops t-shirt. Griff, the founder, great guy. He's spoken at a couple of our events. He's coming to Fort Carson in a month. And I love supporting veteran businesses, veteran podcasts, the whole things. And, you know, it's not easy, right? He just didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden create flip-flops in Colombia and Afghanistan. This was something that he worked on forever. And that's really kind of the message. You know, these men and women come out and share, and nothing's easy. Right?
That's true. Yep. Yeah. Being poor is hard. Being rich is hard. Being in the military is hard. Transitioning out is hard. You got to choose your hard. Are you going to choose to get up and strap it on and do whatever that thing is you're going to do today? Build the next great empire, or just the next group of sales to help, you know, keep your family fed? But it ain't easy no matter what you choose to do. People are like, oh, it must be so easy doing whatever it is you're doing, and it doesn't matter what you've chosen to do. It's not easy. You know, it's one of those things that It's definitely worth it. And I'm glad to have you on today and glad to see the wonderful things that you're doing. How on earth do you get the connections to have guys like Forrest Griffin and Tim Ferriss and all those people come help do your vision? How do you contact these people? What do you say?
The first couple events were the toughest, right? I knew Forrest. I'd met him at another event. He's very charitable. He loves our military. And so I'm like, hey, Forrest, you want to jump on a plane and come speak to soldiers? He's like, yeah, what do I have to do? I'm like, just show up, right? I talked to a neighbor of mine who is the founder of Allegiant Airlines. And I said, oh, hey, Maury, his name is Maury Gallagher, super generous guy. I said, hey, you want to come speak? He's like, yeah, what do I have to do? I'm like, show up. And so he actually lended us, and Ramit Sethi flew from New York to Vegas and jumped on a plane. So we didn't take, like I told Maury Gallagher, I said, hey, you know, I pay to fly the speakers up and all that kind of stuff. And the dude's worth like $1 billion. So, you know, so I'm offering him this Southwest flight. He's like, I don't really fly Southwest. And so he goes, why don't we take one of, he's like, why don't we take one of my planes? I'm like, oh, one of your Allegiant planes? He goes, no, one of my personal planes. I'm like, okay, cool. So at the time I knew a general officer up there, and I'm like, hey, can we fly on the airstrip at JBLM at Fort Lewis? And he's like, I don't see why not. Made arrangements. We literally got this guy who loves planes. We got permission for him to land on base. And he was just like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest. So, so all my speakers, the very first ones, thinking, wow, Phil's a baller, right? He's got these guys with jets and we're going to fly around. That's not the case. Anyone listening who wants to speak, it's typically a Southwest flight and that's about it. But the first ones were the most difficult. And then, you know, I also offer an experience, and the experience looks like this, Travis. It's you show up the day before you speak, you wake up, you do PT, you get briefings, you know, from the base, you see what the military is actually doing. So they get to hang out with people they get to share with the next day. So there's not many conferences that you get to literally be out on the field and hang out with these, you know, at that one with soldiers and airmen and say, hey, what do you think about doing after you get out? What does your transition look like? You know, what do you want to do? Where are you from? And so they literally, all of them change their talks before the next day. And that's happened with almost every one of our events. They think they're coming in with one message. They talk to people and they're like, I got the wrong message. So people remember those experiences too, right? Like waking up, doing the Ranger obstacle course at Fort Benning and doing all these kind of things. You know, I got Grant Cardone to show up. This was when Grant Cardone was flying commercial. He hasn't flown commercial in a while, but he flew commercial, and I woke his butt up at 4:30 and we went and did the Ranger obstacle course, and he just loved it, right? And so now people start to see the experience and they get to see who they serve. And yeah, sure, I'll take care of their flights and their hotels on base and all that kind of stuff. But they really want to come out and share what they know with those that are in a difficult transition. So first ones are always a difficult one. So I guess kind of the lesson in that is, whether you start a business, it's your first sale is always the most difficult one. It's your first hire that's the most difficult one. Sometimes it's same true with relationships, right? You kind of getting yourself through it. And so it can be frustrating, but you just got to kind of fail forward and just keep marching on.
Yeah, the more failures we put together, then we start to climb on top of them. Pretty soon we notice we're at the top of the mountain looking out over all this thing that we created. And how did we get there? By failing. I forget who the quote's from, but you want to succeed faster, double your rate of failure, and you get there much sooner. This is not my first venture, this little podcast here. I've tried a few different things, and what I found is that I'm not good at these things right away, especially early on, you know, trying to set up a podcast. I'm still trying to set up my website. I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. Big secret. I do not know how to do this. Right. And you just take the step and you watch a video and you make a connection and you get this thing. And before you know it, you've collected enough little skills to make something happen and something work. And you come out with, you know, everyone's got to leave the military sometime. And I'm having tons of conversations with the guys at work about different ways to look at housing, different ways to look at business, different ways. Oh, I haven't even thought of that yet. You know, oh, I don't retire, you know, for, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years. I was like, well, what if you twist your ankle tomorrow and something shatters in there and spirals out of control and you're no longer fit for service? That thing that you had coming 5 years from now is all of a sudden in a few months, you know, what are you going to do? And they're like, ooh, I didn't think about that. We, in the military, donate or dedicate so much time, energy, and effort to the mission and the job and our skills that we need, which is fantastic. But realizing that no matter where you're at in the military, you're going to get out at some point. And if you're getting out enlisted, you're really not having a lot of dollars in the bank coming in. And you're going to definitely need something else to move into. It's just a fantastic mission. And I love the way you create that experience. So many times that we see conferences and speaking events and different things, and they don't really create this experience for either the speakers or for the attendees. And that goes so much further when you're out doing a thing instead of just showing up, sitting in a chair, death by a PowerPoint. I know you have a podcast as well, right? Mission Next, is that right?
Correct, yep.
Tell us a little bit about that and how that works.
Well, so I wrote a book called Mission Next. I had a lot of help writing it just because if you saw my transcripts from high school, I show them at every event. And sometimes, you know, I'll do like an executive level course. And I'll have like majors and above, and I'll have all these general officers. I'm like, oh, you know, who graduated with higher than a 1.8 their senior year? And all these general officers are looking at me like, who is this guy? Right. So back up. When I went to school, Travis, I could not sit in a classroom, watch someone on a whiteboard or a chalkboard and learn. 100%, I absolutely failed at that. I had, I've always been interested in a lot of the different topics. So how you learn is very important. I'm getting totally off track, but I think that's really important. Nowadays, like you said, with, you know, building a website or podcast, there's so much free content out there. You have no excuse not to load up your phone or your iPod or whatever mm-hmm. listening device you have and learn. So I, after about probably 3 years into American Dream I was talking to a lot of sailors and soldiers. I'm like, hey, if you could go back 12, 18 months before you got out, what would you do differently? Like, oh my gosh, you know, I would create more contacts. I'd have a better LinkedIn. I'd start taking classes sooner. So I'm like, you know, I should interview these people. So I interviewed 100 plus people, recorded them all, gave that to the ghostwriter. We collaborated on it. And then I'm like, you know, I should just launch these interviews. Super unprofessional. Right, like recorded on my cell phone. Like I had no clue this was ever going to be out there. And I had some really cool guests. I mean, you know, Tim Kennedy and Steve Blank. And a lot of people don't know who Steve Blank is, but he's taken six companies public. He's worth, I don't know, pick a number. So in Silicon Valley. And we've had just some really great, great guests. And so that was my start. And again, if you went back and listened to the audio, man, some of it's unlistenable, right? It's just, it's difficult. But it's just so fun to kind of learn from people that are just ahead of you. So like you said, whether you're the men and women you're working with are transitioning out 2 years from now, 4 years, 5 years, overwhelmingly, literally hundreds have said, I wish I had started sooner, not 12 months sooner, not 24 months sooner, but 5 years sooner, 7 years sooner. Mm-hmm. So whatever your audience wants to take away from that, I think that's really important in anything. And one thing, I don't know whose quote this is, I'll steal it. I won't take credit for it, but you know, if we do the hard things, life is easy. If we do the easy things, life becomes hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know who I heard that from, but it really is true. You know, when you guys train and get ready for a deployment or mission, man, you're doing the hard things, the hard things, the hard things, so that hopefully when you get out there, it's not as difficult as the training. Or right? It's just
right.
Same thing with life. Same thing with life. So. Yeah, so I don't know. So the podcast is good. There's some good interviews, but boy, when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing, right? No one knows what they're doing when they first started anything.
And I think that's completely forgivable. I have this pre-launch group, and this is really podcast probably number 11. So I've recorded 11 or so podcasts before I'm even launching this thing. So when you listen to this, you'd be like, what are you talking about? I've listened to you for weeks. Yeah, this is, you know, all pre-recorded stuff. But in the video, in the intro video, I was like, hey, I'm Travis. I have no idea what I'm doing. I just want to talk to the people either in the nonprofit space and get kind of behind the scenes, you know, the nuts and bolts and the grinding and what they do. And then people in the business space that have some kind of skill, some kind of, you know, knowledge they can pass along, you know, people trying to put this together. And, you know, through doing this and making these great, amazing contacts, and hearing these stories and getting all these tips and tricks, you know, I'm starting to sound like I know what I'm talking about. You know, even though I've been on the board of a few nonprofits, even though I have a couple of published books, even though I've been donating and volunteering and helping people, you know, slog through the little things that are necessary to build a nonprofit, you know, I still don't feel like I know everything. You know, it's there's so much I'm learning. I've got Patrick Kirby coming on. He just scheduled his podcast. He's a fundraiser that's gotten more than $3 million in yeses. You know, those are skills that people need. And the fact that I'm just willing to do this and having the conversations and figure out as I go is what we really need. You know, you just have to learn from that person that's just one step ahead of you. I think you mentioned it a little bit, you know, earlier in the show. You don't have to be some off the wall recognized international expert, because you don't start there. You start with a hope, a desire, a dream, a goal, something you're interested in, you want to pursue, and you just keep asking more questions, and pursuing it, and you're just moving the needle just a little bit further each and every time. And before you know it, you've done something, and you've gone somewhere, and you've impacted lives, and maybe you create an organization, maybe you've reached people, maybe you've reached tens of people, hundreds of people, thousands, millions of people, and you wonder how you got there. And it's just by, you know what, showing up, I'm going to take this step, I'm going to do it, I'm going to move forward. And yeah, you're going to get your bumps and bruises and knocked around on your way, but you know, you got to do it. If you have any desire to do anything like this, you have to do it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've been looking at some people on Instagram that now have 800,000 followers, 50,000, 2 million. If you scroll down to their original post, 11 likes, 19 likes, right? Now they're getting 350,000 likes on one post. But they just kept at it. And if you create good content, whatever it is, whether it's in a nonprofit or for business, people are going to take notice of it, right? And we look at David Goggins. Are you familiar with Goggins?
Yeah, we talked about him earlier.
Yeah. I mean, he's got like 1.8 million followers. He's following nobody. He literally thinks social media is a waste of time. He's on it because he's got a great message. And you go back to some of his original posts and he's like, he doesn't have that many likes, right? I mean, he's got a lot, but not, now he's got 400,000 likes on some of his videos. So just stay after it, whatever you do. And if you got a message, people will find you, right? But you got to put it out there. You can't just quit, you know, after a couple months of social media or a couple months of podcasting or a couple months at your business or a nonprofit, right? I know, and we're probably going to talk about this, but I don't know what the percentage is, but I think most nonprofits don't even make it like 18 months or 12 months. You would have more stats on that.
You would think that I would, as professional as I am. But
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I know the number, and I don't even know the exact number. I'm totally guessing.
But it's in the 80s. It's in the 80 percentile that you're not making it through 18 months, let alone 5 years. And it's not a failure rate, right? It's one of the reasons that I wanted to start this, because I'm finding people with this big, huge heart and this big, huge vision, and they want to do good, which is fantastic. But they don't know how to run a nonprofit. And on the other side of the coin, they don't understand business principles. And that's just a recipe for disaster.
What do you think is the difference between running a business and running a nonprofit?
Really, it's just who you're really getting your money from and how that's working. But even so, I mean, there's nonprofits that sell services. There's nonprofits that sell products. It is not any different. It's really just an accounting difference. And we have nonprofits with a business-like mission, and we have businesses with a nonprofit-like mission, like Tom's Shoes or Patagonia. They're giving. They have this dual kind of hat that they're giving alongside of their business. And there's nothing that says you have to do it one way or another way. But I think the big thing is you have to keep at it. You have to get after it. You have to go everywhere you go. You have to wear a shirt with your logo on it. You know, you have to have business cards. You have to talk about your mission. You have to interact with people, and you need something that's tangible. Like, if I give you $1,000, what do you do with this? And nonprofits can't answer that question. Well, if I get, $1,000, oh, I'm not sure. Well, I got some bills to pay. Like, they don't even know what the impact of their dollars are. They don't understand their numbers. I worked with a gal, Whitney Bates out of Oklahoma City, running Feed It Forward. She could tell you that $100 would feed X amount of people. Straightforward, feeding the homeless, give me this much, these many people are going to get fed. Amazing. Clear cut. It's simple. People understood the impact of their dollars. But if I say, oh, you know, I'm going to help people better understand the aura of what it is, to what? How does that work? How do my dollars translate into moving the mission forward, getting you closer to helping you solve your mission, meet your mission, help the people? And if you can't answer that as a nonprofit, if you can't answer that as a business owner, you're not going to be in a nonprofit or in business any longer. You know, if you are, it's going to pedal off and eventually it's going to die because you don't understand what it is that you're doing. And that's okay when you're young and you're early and you try to refine and hone that down and you do something like an ask campaign and you figure out what people's problems and where they lie and you move forward and try to figure out that niche of what you're really trying to help. Or you get this mission that you're really dedicated on and you get some early success and all of a sudden like, well, what if we try doing this and we help doing this and you get this mission creep and all of a sudden people realize, well, my dollars don't go what they used to, or they're not really sure that they're focused on their business. And all of a sudden their donations dry up because they're out of their element. They're doing something they shouldn't be doing. They're not focusing and reinvesting and drilling down on their mission.
Yeah. You know, there's an organization out there, it's out of New York. I think it's Charity Water. You familiar with Charity Water?
I'm not familiar.
Okay. So Charity Water is a great organization and their whole thing is super transparency, right? So like if someone contacts me, I can say, okay, well, if you give us $100, $14 goes towards salary and overhead and $86 goes towards programming events and stuff. And they're like, wow, how do you have such a low, you know, a low overhead for staffing? I'm like, well, first of all, I don't get paid, which helps when you don't have to pay an executive director. That's very helpful, but you have to know you're exactly right. You have to know your numbers. Like we have all of our 990s on our website. I get hit up from nonprofits all the time and I'm like, how come your 990s aren't on the website? Oh, well, if you need them, we'll get them. I'm like, I shouldn't have to ask you, dude, just post them. Right. This is called transparency. Yeah. And so I'll say, okay, well, and you know, there's some big military nonprofits that have gotten in trouble. And I think they're starting to turn around a little bit, but it's like every time someone calls me, I go, okay, so if I donate 100, what's the overhead? How much actually goes to feeding the homeless or helping veterans or whatever the case may be? Oh, it's a good percentage. I'm like, no, tell me. And legally they have to tell you. And they'll go, oh, it's $1 of 100. I'm like, you have 93% overhead. Oh yeah, we got to raise money and there's cost. I'm like, that's BS, man. Mm-hmm. That is BS. So as being a founder of a nonprofit, and this is for your listeners, man, you have to have your expenses in line, right? You just have to, because donors are not dumb. They're just not going to go, oh, it's a veteran's cause. We'll give them whatever they want. They're going to check it out, you know?
Yeah, they're looking for qualified people to help with their mission. So again, a recent nonprofit I worked with, they got a big, huge check. And initially, they wanted to reach out and they wanted to get their own building. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What do your monthly numbers look like now? What are your monthly donations coming in? Oh, well, this and that. I was like, so you want to, with this one donation, you want to sign up to have a $5,000 a month building payment as an overhead, and you don't even know what your numbers are for the month. You can't jump up like that. Well, I want to help more people. Yes. And doing what you're doing in your own kitchen is tough. Is there someone that you can partner with for much, much less money to move the needle forward, to give you the space you need without making a huge impact to your budget? You're still a very young nonprofit. And she was able to partner with a church. I don't remember the numbers. I want to say $500 a month, which is a 90% savings from getting into a building. And, you know, she was like, you know, if I, you know, later she came, it's like, if I would have signed up for that, my whole focus would have shifted from my mission to fundraising solely. And I would have had to spend 80% or more of my time every month driving for donations, dialing for dollars, trying to get a hold of people and raise this money just because I wanted this building sooner than I could afford it. And that's a great way to put yourself in a pit, having too much debt, too much responsibilities every month while you're still young and growing, to where that money should be going to, maybe it's being put on hold for where you need it in 2 months from now, where the, you know, donations are drying up. Maybe it's really to fine tune your stuff. Maybe it's, you know, hiring a social media manager and getting your word out, your marketing out, but it can't go to some big, huge thing right away that you're going to have to pay out the teeth for later.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've literally talked to hundreds of transitioning servicemen and women, and a small percentage like, hey, I want to start a nonprofit. I'm like, great. What's focus? Oh, it's going to be veterans. Okay, great. What does that look like? Well, I need to raise really quick $80,000. Well, what would you use that $80,000 for? Well, that's my salary. Oh, okay. So you're trying to raise money for your salary. Okay. So who do you have lined up to serve whatever you're doing? Well, I need the salary before I can find out who I'm serving. I'm like, dude, get a job, serve from 5:30 at night till midnight. That's what I do. Serve in the morning, serve in the weekends, build a tribe, you know, start helping people first so that you can go to donors and say, hey, listen, I need to raise some money. And yes, I need to cover some of my overhead, but here's all who I'm serving. Mm-hmm. So don't start a nonprofit with the idea that you're just going to raise money and pay yourself. That's what's doing easy. And people are going to catch on. And I don't care if you're a veteran or not a veteran. There's so many other organizations out there. All these people are doing is just raising money to have a place to go and get paid every day. It's not the way to go about it, right? Just do the side hustle, just like a side hustle on a business, do a side hustle on a charity, start helping some people, keep very detailed records, how many people you serve, how you've served them, what you've done for them, how their lives have been, you know, changed, you know, what would their life look like before and what their life looked like after, get testimonials, get video testimonials. And you don't need a TV crew, right? You don't need a video crew. Just use your cell phone. Just capture some true life. You know, hey, what did it mean like to be out in nature for the weekend and work with a counselor and do yoga and do this? Oh my gosh, I've never felt so calm and peace. I feel like, because I just did a workshop, a Wim Hof workshop with a guy here, and I had 7 veterans come and they all did testimonials afterwards. Did I ask them to do testimonials or like, I want to share this? Mm-hmm. People want to share what, you know, whether it's a good restaurant, a good movie or whatever, they want to share something that they feel good about. So many people start backwards, Travis. I don't want to get on a tangent, and I'm not knocking people for doing that, but not the best route to go.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's worth discussing. You know, if you are regular Joe leaving high school, looking to go to college, and your focus in college is that you're chasing the dollars, you're never going to find them. Oh, I have to definitely be a lawyer and, you know, make this much money. I was like, okay, why? Why do you feel that way? Well, you know, my parents really wanted this and that. I'm like, if you are chasing the dollar, you will never, ever catch it. You will never catch it, whether it's for you or whatever your thing is. You won't, because the desire is not there within you. You know, my end of my military career is winding down. I'm over 19 years. I'm, you know, looking towards the horizon. I'm doing podcasts like this, right? Because I want to do something that I think is impactful and meaningful. And I hope to monetize this and have it replace some of my income. So when I do retire, I don't have to just jump right into a job. But if the situation dictates, I'm going to find something in the interim until this thing really kicks off one day and I'm doing, you know, American Dream U level conferences and everyone's having a great time and I'm monetizing. But that's not my priority. My priority is value. Is finding great guests like Phil Randazzo, who wants to talk about the behind the scenes and the nuts and bolts and provide value to the audience out there that are going to get something good out of this thing. I think Zig Ziglar said, if you just help enough people get what they want, eventually they'll get what you want. And it's a whole story of service first.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about money really quick. I think that's really important. I've gotten to hang out with people with a ton of money. Even before I started American Dream U, I kind of ran in some circles, and that was part of my problem was I wanted what I had and I wanted what everyone else had, mm-hmm. right? I wanted my money, I wanted their money. I just was like, you're exactly right. If all your focus is money, you'll never have enough, and you'll just surround yourself with people who pretend like they're happy because they have a lot of money and they're not happy. There's very few people that I know. Take that back. There's a lot of people I know because I get to work with some pretty cool people, but there's no correlation between making a ton of money and happiness. They have done studies on this. Blue Zones wrote a great book on not just areas around the world where people live the longest and the healthiest, but also the happiest communities. And there's no correlation between money. Now, again, people with no money have money issues. People like Warren Buffett have money issues, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Warren Buffett money issues than being under a bridge. His issue is he can't give it away fast enough, right? He doesn't want all these taxes on money. He doesn't want to spoil his kids either, so he's only giving his kids $1 billion each. So I'm glad he's not going to spoil his kids. But the rest of the money,
some reasonability, right?
Yeah, right. The rest of his money, him and Bill Gates have partnered, and they've given away, I don't know, $150 billion, right, for all these causes around the world. I'm a big fan of Howard Stern. Howard Stern started off as a DJ making $97 a week. Did he go into becoming a DJ for the money? Absolutely not. He just wanted to share, you know, his voice and what he was doing. And guess what? Now he's worth close to $1 billion. Never set out to be there, but that's what he did, right? Mm-hmm. All of these really successful people, Sam Adams, the founder of Sam Adams spoke for us, Sam Adams Beer. He was working at Deloitte, making a couple hundred grand a year as a consultant. And he just loved making beer in his garage. So he started a little side hustle, you know, walking around, you know, delivering beer and having beers with people in bars trying to sell his beer. All of a sudden he quit. His dad's like, what are you doing? He's like, I want to make beer. He goes, I don't care about the money. Dude, I think just sold his company is worth $2 billion, right? So to your point, if you do something that you wake up, your body wakes you up because it's so excited. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You might have to have that conversation with a parent who wants you to be that attorney or thinks everything is all about money and all about success, what kind of car you drive. And that's all programming we get from our parents. From birth to age 7, man, we're just program, program, program. So how do you unwind that program? Mm-hmm. Right? And there's some different tools, and you can put them in the show notes, but there's a guy named Dr. Joe Dispenza. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
He's incredible. He's got so many great tools for that. Paul Check, who's a veteran, C-H-E-K, has great tools for that. 82nd Airborne guy, Army boxing coach. There's so many tools out there to try to unwind some of that programming. And again, we're all programmed, mm-hmm. right? And some of it's good and some of it isn't good. And then we got this survival brain that still thinks there's lions around the corner that's going to, you know, attack us. And so when you're living in that fight or flight and you're trying to keep up with everybody else, it causes resentment, anger, jealousy, all these things. And again, these are all things that I had. So I was not a great person 5, 6, 7 years ago. Ask my wife, ask my family. It took a lot of pain to kind of shift my programming. And I'm definitely a work in progress, and I still have a long, long way to go. But just recognizing that, and I think your listeners need to know that you got to really find your why, and you were alluding to that. The why isn't money. You'll never get there.
No.
Your why needs to be service of others. And there's a great book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Mm-hmm. And so all he talked about was every day just be of service to others and you won't have any problems, right?
Right.
Just do 3 acts of just complimenting somebody or doing something for someone else. And that's the whole thing about nonprofits, right? You want to make your community better. You want to make lives better so they can go back to their community and make their community better. And yeah, if you make a decent salary along the way, but I think the most important part is how many people can you serve and how much impact can you make in other people's lives? And I think nonprofits lose track of that very quickly.
Oh yeah. If you're worried about which car you're driving, you're not worried about helping the people you're worried about. You know, I've been doing financial planning for the last 12 plus years. And you know, when we started, we were chasing some of that shiny stuff. And that stuff never, ever, ever, no matter how big, how shiny it is, never fills that hole in your soul. If you're just piling this stuff on your little selfish corner of your heart, then it's never ending. It's a never ending hole. You know, I go around and I read books about becoming a millionaire and, you know, how to do a budget, and how to get there automatically and all these different things. And you read something like The Automatic or A Millionaire Next Door, The Next Millionaire Next Door. And you see what kind of cars millionaires drive. Mm-hmm. And they drive Ford, Toyota, and Honda. They don't drive Maserati and Lamborghini and Lexus. The average millionaire, right, like the top 88% of millionaires drive your average regular car. And they don't even buy new cars. So if you're someone that is, not you, not me, but if you're someone that's like, man, I got to get that new Expedition, do you? Why? Is it for you or is it for some kind of, you know, make-believe status symbol that has nothing to do with reality that people are going to say ooh and ah for about 10 seconds and then they're going to just hang out with you because of you or they're not going to hang out with you because of you and you'll be stuck with the payment while they've moved on with their life.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's
it's
a tangent.
No, it's totally true. And there's nothing against having a nice car or a nice home and all that kind of good stuff. But when it becomes your identity, that's when it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And you know, I used to live in a neighborhood. I just moved 2 years ago and it was a baller neighborhood. Like we had the smallest house in this, you know, baller community. And that was part of my identity. You know, I was, when people asked me where I lived, I kind of pretended not to tell them exactly. And then I told them the neighborhood. They were like, oh, wow, you live in a nice neighborhood, right? I was like, oh, yeah. I'm proud of my desk secretly, you know, kind of a thing. And so that became part of my identity. And you know what? It's people don't really care, right? They've forgotten about you 10 minutes after they see you drive away in that nice car, or 5 minutes after you tell them how great you are and what house you live in. They don't care. They're onto their own stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing for me. And there was a great interview that Tony Robbins interviewed Dana White. If you remember Dana White?
Yeah, president of UFC.
Yeah, president of UFC. And he grew up here in Vegas and didn't have a whole bunch of money. And he was talking to Tony about, you know, he made $400+ million when UFC sold. And that's now doubled because the stock is worth even more. The company's worth more. And he's like, yeah, Tony, I was buying stuff and stuff and stuff. And I realized I walked in and I had all this stuff. And I was like, this is stupid. You got to take care of all this stuff. And it's cost money. And you got to have people to come over and take care of stuff. And I'm like, I'm just getting rid of stuff. You know, when you grow up with nothing, you just want it all. And then you have it and you're like, I just want to be happy. And he loves going to work every day. Does he need to go to work every day? Absolutely not. But boy, that dude is passionate about what he gets to do and his team and everything else. And I think that's really the key. Retirement is not, I tried retiring. I was very fortunate. I was 34 years old. I had exited out of a company. I made a little bit of money. Man, your brain needs to work on something. Right. And my wife's like, get out of the house. You know? And I just started a nonprofit. She's like, go do something. And again, it wasn't tons and tons of money. Like I wasn't a baller, but it was something I didn't have to, you know, I could make a little bit of money. I had no debt, but man, it is so fun to be in constant mastery mode, meaning just always trying to learn. And another thing that, and again, all these references are to me, right? I was a dick 5 years ago. I was angry, resentful of people around me. My own kids got to go to great schools and I didn't get to go to a great school. Not because I wasn't smart, but I just didn't have the money to go to great schools. And so I had all this resentment and anger built up. And so it was just, and I wasn't coachable. I thought I knew everything. And I know a lot of people that are just not coachable. So when you start your nonprofit or any type of business, just sit, listen, take notes and just be coachable. You might learn something. Like I have this young kid I just met who's a Wim Hof instructor. His name is Pavel. He's 28 years old. I've never learned more from a 28-year-old. I'm 50, right? And we're learning from each other, kind of a thing. So, and man, there's a ADU speaker. His name is Charlie Hone. Track him down. He is just one of the greatest humans out there. He's got a book called Play It Away. He worked for Tim Ferriss. He was a project manager for Tim Ferriss for 4 years. He was one that introed me to Tim. And he is just like, he's got a beautiful little girl and a wife, and it's all about play for him, right? What can I do where I can't distinguish between play and work and, you know, kind of just decompressing and doing all that stuff? That's so important. I think people lose track of that. Their heart's charging others. The Grant Cardones of the world who tell you to never stop working, right? There's the Goggins of the world who, you know, tell you to push, you know, you're at 40%. And both could be right, right? And then there's also people like, man, I just want to be happy. Just give me something great to work on and with the people I want to work on with. And that's one great thing about being a nonprofit is you can pick the community you want to serve. So anyways, I don't even know if that even made sense, but well, your listeners can figure it out.
Yeah, they got it. It's no big deal. It's definitely important. If you're listening to this podcast is really for someone idea to like 5 years in the nonprofit world. Get those starting tips, get that, how do you build this, how do you build that? But make sure it's something worth building. If we've said something today that you're like, well, I'm not really sure where my mission is or I need to hone my mission down, do it. Ask out. Find me or Phil on Facebook, LinkedIn. Say, hey, how do I do this? What's this thing all about? Get this group of people together, get your board together and really hone your mission. And then make sure you're doing the things every day to move towards your mission. If you're doing something, you're saying yes to something and it doesn't move towards your mission, should you be doing it? I can't answer that for you, but chances are no. Chances are you're wasting your time, energy, and effort on something that has nothing to do with your mission. And if you're wasting resources on something like that, then you have to fundraise even harder to not work towards your mission because you went off track. You went off the rails and you use that money for something that's not getting you there. If you're not doing the thing that you're doing, who is it hurting?
One suggestion I have for all your listeners is if you're still in the military 5 years out, 2 years out, 10 years out, whatever it is, and you're interested in getting in the nonprofit space, look in your area. I don't care if you're in Killeen, Texas or Fayetteville, North Carolina or San Diego, whatever it is. There are literally probably dozens, if not hundreds of nonprofits. Find one potentially that you could maybe, you know, get behind and go volunteer. Hit them up. Hey, when's your next event? I'm available nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. And just work for free inside of a nonprofit and see if that's your gig. You know, talk to the board. Say, hey, I'm potentially thinking about in the next 5, 10 years, 2 years, whatever it is, open up a nonprofit. I'd love to work for free for you and your organization and see if it's a fit. You know, the last 6 months of service in the military, you're allowed to do these fellowships. You can do them for nonprofits. I got a guy right now who's applying to be a fellow with us. The Army's going to pay him for his last 6 months of service. He's going to come over here. He's going to see if it's a fit, right? I mean, to me, and then I always hear people like, oh, I don't want to, you know, my weekends. I don't want to, you know, weekends are my own. And I'm like, what are you doing on the weekends? Oh, I watch football or I do this or I hang out with my buddies and we do. Those are all great things. So maybe pick 2 weekends out of the month and go volunteer. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, if you're complaining not owning your weekends now, dude, when you got a nonprofit, you're not going to be able to own your weekends.
Well, you're going to lose your evenings and you're going to lose your weekends almost immediately. If you're going to connect with people and you're going to go to networking events, you might catch a lunchtime one at like a chamber of commerce, but you better believe they have evening events.
Yeah.
You better believe they have evening fundraisers.
Yeah.
Weekend conferences.
Man, whatever you go into, I'm not just saying nonprofit. Man, if you don't, and again, those with families, I'm 100% not encouraging. You know, like I always share with people, it's like, hey, listen, you get home from work, you're with your family, you put your family to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and then you're working until midnight, right? You wake up even 30 minutes before your family wakes up. Take time for yourself, whether that's breathing, meditation, whatever it is, so you can kind of get regrouped. It'll help energize you. Be with your kids, your family in the morning, go to work, and then repeat, right? If you get to bed at midnight and you wake up at 6, that's still 6 hours of sleep. If you get some good quality sleep, you can live on 6 hours sleep. I'm not suggesting you do that permanently, but if you're not willing to do that, even a couple days a week and even a Saturday morning, maybe being an entrepreneur or maybe starting a nonprofit isn't for you. And that's not a knock. It's just saying it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm thinking about, excuse me, what it took to get through flight school with a family. Flight school is insanely hard. But you got a wife and two kids that you're taking care of and your wife works and you've got two young children, sacrifices must be made. I come home from class and I pick up the kids from school and we sit down and we do homework and we get dinner and we put them into bed. And then no kidding, 9 to midnight, I'm up studying, doing out charts, learning the things I have to do to be successful. And then at the time I was up at 4:30 to try to get some stuff in before I go back to class. And, you know, we have class broken up with swimming sessions, but it's hard. Yeah. But again, you got to choose your heart because it ain't going to be easy. Anything worth doing is not easy. And success certainly isn't easy. Mm.
I'll give a quick tip. And again, all these tips are based on me doing it completely wrong. Put your cell phone away. Put it on airplane mode. Turn the TV off. Get outside, right? Get into nature if you have ability. Grab a journal and just be with your thoughts for a couple hours. That can be scary, Travis, to some people.
It's scary to a lot of people. And it should be, because I've heard some people's thoughts and they are terrifying.
Yeah. That silence is going to bring clarity. Like there's a, you know, I consider him a friend now, Ryan Holiday. He wrote a book called Obstacles the Way, Ego's the Enemy. He has a new book out called Stillness. And he sent me an advanced copy. It's a game changer, right? We don't have stillness anymore. There's another great book by a guy by the name of Greg McKeown who wrote The Essentialism. And he talks about we're digging 1,000 holes an inch deep and we're never going deep on anything. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, I'm guilty of this. And it's all about just taking time away from your daily life, from the cell phones, from social media, all these type of things, and just kind of being with your thoughts and kind of, like you said, it can be scary with your thoughts, right? It can be very scary. So all your listeners this weekend, just either wake up early, like every morning I've been watching the sunrise. I have no idea why. I do my Wim Hof breathing and I just watch the sun come up. And if you stare at the sun when it's low enough, you see a ring around it. Have you ever done that? It's a white ring that flows around it. And for thousands of years, warriors have done this to prepare for battle, for whatever the case may be. Just take that time for yourself. Love yourself enough to take that 20 minutes and go watch the sunrise, even one day a week. Yeah. Right. And I guess sometimes in the military, you're doing PT at that time, and maybe that's not an option, but maybe when you're on there now doing sit ups or whatever the case may be, or push ups, which I've done when the sun's coming up in the military.
Yeah.
Just kind of just be grateful. Right. I don't think we're a grateful nation, unfortunately. But, anyways, that's my tangent on that.
So you've got all these great ideas about how to unplug, and then we've got all these suggestions to do more, and how do you balance that? I like to do what I call twofers. I think I got this idea from Zig Ziglar. I think he calls it twofers. When I'm walking to work, I'm about a mile and a half from the base here in Bahrain. I'm listening to something that's going to improve my day. It's about 20 minutes each way. So every day I can get about 40 minutes of an audiobook, 40 minutes of a podcast, 40 minutes on a YouTube video, something for free online that I can digest. In the time that I'm taking commuting or I'm in the bathroom, I'm not spending any extra time on whatever the next skill is, the next thing I got to learn is, but I'm getting it done at the same time. Mm-hmm. And even if you get punched in the face all day at work, you know, you still got 40 minutes dedicated to you, because it doesn't matter if you're that lawyer like your mom says you had to be. Eventually, you're going to want to do something else. Eventually, you're going to need to transition out of the military and you're going to need some kind of skills. Eventually, you're going to be tired of the corporation you're working with and you'd like to try something else, but you never took any time to invest in yourself. And there is never, ever a time that it doesn't pay off to invest in yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I think they call that net time, right? No extra time. You know, you're at the gym, you're working out. And I get some people are like, oh, I just want to listen to, you know, sports radio or Stern or something, just unwind. 100%. I think you need to do that. But you're right. I think it was Zig Ziglar or Jim Rome or one of these old time guys says, man, you could turn your car into a university and learn pretty much anything you want, or a walk. Like I was just talking to Griff from Combat Flip Flops, and man, he's a deep, deep thinker, right? Ranger, just a great guy. And I'm like, what are you reading? He's like, oh, I'm reading, I forget what the book, Neil Diamond, I don't know, it's Conversations with God. I'm like, wow, that's kind of different. He goes, yeah, I have an 11-minute walk to work, and I listen 11 minutes there and 11 minutes back, and it kind of just, I finish a book in 17 days or whatever the thing is, and he goes, it's fantastic, right? Kind of notices his breath while he's walking, I think, and yeah, and breath work. Let me just add one more thing to breath work. That has been not just a game changer for me, but I had 7 veterans in this workshop, and I've had a lot of other people. And there was a Marine that just on Wim Hof's Instagram just gave a great testimonial about the breath. We've been breathing for thousands of years, but we haven't really noticed recently, right? We're just mouth breathers and all this kind of stuff. And there's a guy named Mark Devine from SEAL Fit that's has this thing called box breathing. You can Google all this stuff. There's box breathing, there's Wim Hof breathing, and then there's another breath called the 4-7-8 breath that Dr. Wheel talks about. He's the gray-haired kind of guy, you know, kind of thing. If you just in the morning just started off with just noticing your breath, game changer. Absolute game. There's so much science behind all this stuff now. It's just not. And just to get that clarity, the first thing when you wake up, I think is just really, really important. And again, none of this stuff has anything to do with starting a nonprofit, but it's gonna keep you going beyond the time where you want to quit. Because there have been plenty of times that I've wanted to quit. I talked to other people who run nonprofits, and man, they're frustrated with donors, with their board, with people they serve. There are a lot of times we can get frustrated. And so when you just take a little bit of time for yourself, get recentered and know why you're here, I think is extremely important.
I think that's definitely relevant to our audience who we're talking about. Self-care is of the utmost importance. This is something I talk with people do all the time. You cannot pour from an empty bucket. If your bucket is empty, and you go to pour it out to give away, and there's nothing in there, well, you're not even helping the people that you want to help, because you haven't had time to refill it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I forget who said this. Again, you and I are great at quoting people. We have no idea who we're even quoting.
But we're not taking credit where we didn't.
100% not taking credit.
Not taking credit.
So there was a guy who, and it might come to me, he says, you got to fill your cup up first, and whatever overflows from your cup, that's what you give away. So you can just Google that phrase. I forget who it was. But anyways, to your point, fill your cup up, have it overflow. Whatever overflows, give away to your community, your family, your church, whatever the case may be.
I know Dr. Spencer Johnson wrote a book, Who Moved My Cheese, and also How Full Is Your Bucket? I know that definitely that concept is in there. Phil, we are coming up on an hour already, and I could just talk all day, but I know you are one busy man. What are you working on next in your nonprofit? What's next for American Dream U? How can we help you? How can we connect you with people? What do you need?
We are doing unit-specific events right now. So we're doing some work with 10th Group up at Fort Carson. We just did two great events at Fort Hood. And for anyone who's listening that's still in the military, if you want to put 100 butts in seats, we'll be there. Right now, if it's Bahrain or someplace overseas, that might be a little more difficult. But that's really our model now is just, you know, having a commanding officer just do a place of duty memo. We show up and we have not disappointed at all. And so we're working on that. We're working on getting some grants because I can't continue to fund this thing forever. And so we're starting to do some fundraising and some grants, and we've added some people on our board that'll be helpful. I'm continuing not to take a salary. I don't think I will take a salary. I have a lot of my board members saying, hey, listen, if you took even $50,000 a year, it would take you, I forget what year, it's like 38 years to break even for how much I've contributed to what I'd make. And they're like, you're probably not going to be alive in 38 years, let alone be working full time. So, you know, because I'm not a veteran. And so that was a big thing for me is I did not want to get compensated. And plus, I think executive directors, they get paid very well, and some I think get paid too well, you know, to work in the nonprofit space. And so I've always been very conscious of that. But yeah, you know, it's just sharing our content. All of our content's free, I think, is very important. We're starting to get a lot of shares because our content is great, right? It's kind of almost like getting an unfair advantage when you're looking for a job or starting a business. We got the world's best entrepreneurs teaching this stuff for free, right? It's just gold. So I think fundraising and getting our content out to more people is really, it's always our mission, but we're really highly focused on that. And I just hired an assistant for myself. I've been without an assistant for a year, and that was brutal, right? Me trying to organize stuff. And so I'm excited about getting more focused on who I want to serve and who I want to reach out to. And so it's always a nonprofit challenge, right? Is funding. If it were easy, and right now the economy's good, you know, if we see another 08 or another recession, it could get really ugly for a lot of nonprofits. So those that have some good, you know, money in the coffers, be conscious that this economy's not going to go on forever.
Oh, absolutely. I've been checking out your stuff, looking at your social media and your websites and all that stuff. I don't know if I missed it, but you need a store. You need a t-shirt with your logo on it. There's companies out there like Printful that they get paid online through your website. It goes to them. They create the t-shirt, they package it, they ship it, they sell it, and then you money just shows up in your account.
So we've had Grunt Style Clothing. Daniel Ehrlich has spoken, my gosh, at least probably 8 or 10 times. They've been donating swag to us for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so we just have that swag. We just give that to speakers and people that attend, and we got some cool stuff. We've thought about doing that, and I don't know if that would distract from our focus, but like you said, there's companies that'll just drop ship it for you. It takes no time or effort.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that we probably could be doing and that we should be doing. So I would love to hear from you, whether it's online or off, some things that we could, you know, help raise some money for us.
So I just signed up. You heard my little plug for Patreon at the beginning of this thing. It is free to sign up. You create a little profile, a little page, and you create, it'll be patreon.com/probably American Dream U, letter U. And people say, I love your content. I'll give you $1 or $5 or $10 a month to help keep you running. And I know you can promote that on your Mission Next podcast and all the new guests you get on. And you give them a little template to share when they agree to be a guest. Whatever social media they have, you create a little template for them with the link, you know, to your Patreon out there. And they send it up to their people. And then every guest that you have, you've then gained their audience and they have a chance to support you. And you get enough people giving you a buck or two a month, and pretty soon you have enough to keep this thing rolling all on its own. And then what I'm doing with Quotables is quotes from today's podcast, if you agree to it, will be on t-shirts that I'm providing, and I give you $5 for each t-shirt that's sold. Mm. It helps keep me running. It helps keep you running. And that way you don't have to create a store or spend any of your own time. You've already given me all the quotes from today's show. And that way it's another little way to help get you closer to your goal. So you're not pulling out your own pockets for this stuff every month.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing I'm not good at, and you need to be good at if you're going to start a nonprofit, is asking people for money. And I'm just not good at it.
That's the only way it works, right? Is if you have enough money to meet the mission. There's only so much that can come out of my pocket or your pocket to make things work. And I think you've been pretty fortunate between the money that you have and the connections that you've made with, oh, let's just take my own private jet. If you do end up making it out to Bahrain, I've got an amazing place out there. And whoever you bring out, you have a free place to stay and there's plenty of room.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little, Southwest doesn't fly there, unfortunately, I don't think. And so to get to those locations are a bit costly for us to do that. But yeah, I think, you know, we've been trying to get to Afghanistan for years, and Jordan Harbinger, who's got a very popular podcast, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He keeps texting me probably every 6 months, any update on Afghanistan. And so we're trying to get on some USO plane or a congressional plane and do an event out there. Mm-hmm. We're super excited to be able to do that, but we have not had any luck yet to get out there. But if we do, I think we probably have a stopover in Bahrain, I would imagine, right?
It's definitely a hub for a lot of places. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been great. So how can we share the work you're doing other than just sharing your podcast?
So just what I mentioned, I'm going to create little email templates and social media posts. If you're willing to share that stuff out and help spread your word. If you say yes to the t-shirts, that link will be on there as well as a Patreon. And any person that you have that you think that would make it be a good guest on this show, send them my way. I'm looking for founders, executive directors, donors, volunteers, fundraising personnel, as well as people in the business space that have skills designed that can help nonprofits, you know, get to that next level. Always out looking for new guests and new ventures.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations. And, you know, just, you know, I hear a lot of excuses from people and they'll start later, not just military, everybody. And here you are, right, deployed, away from your family. I have no idea even what time it is over there, but you're working it.
Yeah, I'm working it. I think it's 1 p.m. or noon where you are, and it is 9 p.m. here, and I have two more guests scheduled tonight to be on the show.
I will let you grab those guests. But that's awesome. That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, you could take your deployments. And there's another guy, we had another ADU speaker who was a veteran, and he was like, when he was deployed, I think he read like a book a week, did some online classes. Of course, he had to do some work, right, obviously, when he was deployed, but he had that downtime where he wasn't playing video games or watching Netflix. Man, he just came back. He said he came back a different person in a more positive way, right? Some people will go to a deployment and they come back different, and sometimes in not a positive way. Yeah. But he came back like energized and just ready to roll. So, and you don't need to be deployed to do that, right? You just gotta just schedule some time for yourself.
Yeah, I got kind of a gut check with this deployment over here to Bahrain. I had a friend of mine who's in the coaching space. He's an author. He's got his new book out called, I think it's called Fuck Balance by Asa LeBeau. And I was on a coaching call with him and I was like, man, where are you? That background you've got is familiar. He's in a Connex box in Afghanistan doing coaching calls at like 3 a.m. And, you know, all of a sudden, all my excuses for what I was going to do while I was out here, and like, oh, I'm going to put the business on hold and this and that, like all those excuses went away. Yeah. Much better conditions than he is in a Connex box. And if I can set aside, we got a Monday and sit and, you know, record 4 podcasts on just one day of the month, I've got a whole month worth of content out there. Man, surely I can do something like that and connect to me some great people, you know, like yourself. So
for sure. Well, congratulations, man. Congratulations. And I know you know, I read your excerpt on your book and you got an amazing story. And I think you need to interject some of your story and encourage you to continue to be vulnerable about that. And because that's vulnerability is where it all starts, right?
It's about being real. You know, you've been more than open, forthcoming, and honest with today, saying, I used to be a dick 5 years ago, and here's where I still suck.
Yeah.
That's important to know that we're not out here just crushing it, that people that are quote unquote successful or whom I look up to, there are humans too that, you know, get punched in the face on a regular basis just for being themselves. So,
yeah. Well, and you know what entrepreneurs do more, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, not just in the veteran spaces, man, we're really good at just beating the crap out of ourselves, right? Mm. It's that negative self-talk and it's just like you would never talk to your friend that way, your spouse that way. And so, yeah, so you've got to kind of get out of your own way sometimes. And again, you know, we live in this regretful past where we keep, you know, thinking of things in the past and we feel the emotions like it's happening again. And then we think of our future and it's just the worst possible case future. And so we're never in the present. Mm-hmm. We're beating ourselves up for the past and we're living in a horrible future. And so you're stuck right at that fight or flight and it is not a healthy way to live. And eventually your body is going to, you know, get some type of a disease or slow you down. Or, you know, I was working with a Marine and on some stuff and his back went out and I'm like, dude, you're working 100 hours a week. Like, I don't know if you believe in God or the universe, but when you're working that hard, God's going to slow you down, right? He's going to say, okay, if you're not going to take a break, all right, I'll see to it that you take a break. And so we just don't, we got to start working on ourselves before crisis comes in, before your wife sits down and says, hey, listen, you're a great guy 90% of the time, but boy, I can't take that 10% of the time when you're fly off the handle and get angry. And that's, I'm talking about my wife. And so that was a crisis. Right? Why don't we change when there's not a crisis? You know, we get that diagnosis or disease or relationship is failing. So that would be my other encouragement to do is to start working on that right away.
Absolutely. Well, you've been a tremendous guest. And I definitely love talking to you on camera as well as off of camera. And give one more time, where can people reach you? How can they find you?
Yeah. So just AmericanDream.org or just Google Phil Randazzo. And a whole bunch of stuff will come up. Hopefully it's good. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm not that interesting. But I think some of the people that I bring and some of the work we do are, it's pretty interesting. And then those that are still in the military or those that are out, again, we have some great content online. It's all free. And just continue to work on yourself.
Well, hey, Phil, as always, thanks for being awesome. And thanks for being on my show today. Look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thanks so much.
All right. Stay safe, brother.
You too.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.